This is tape two. Dr. Manderscheid at the end of tape one was speaking about Dr. Horton and one of the student protests dealing with the lettuce boycott of student support for the United Farm Workers.
Yeah, so it was interesting that when the last speaker finished arguing that the university should support the farm workers and not the lettuce growers, Dr. Wharton responded in almost perfect Spanish, which so flustered the previous speakers that it ended the discussion. Not for permanently, but for that afternoon. Another problem, well, I mean, these were sort of on-campus problems. Let's face it, there was still a fair amount of racism in many parts of Michigan. And there were some taxpayers who couldn't really accept an African-American or person of color as president of a or the major university, depending on whether they were from Ann Arbor or East Lansing. So that was something that I think lurked in the background. Mm-hmm. I don't think it affected him on campus as much as it did off campus. Mm-hmm. And then just following the giant, John Hanna, was going to be difficult for anybody. Walter Adams served for a while in there, but the comparisons was always, what would John have done? Mm-hmm.
Did you see, overall looking at his presence, how about athletics? Were you involved at that time on the athletic council or this before?
I was on the athletic council after this occurred.
All right. So some of the athletic difficulties or scandals that broke during his administration, did you?
I suffered through those days, along with a number of other Spartans. Mm-hmm. What I appreciated about that was his sense of humor. I mean, he obviously spent a lot of time on it and a lot of thought on it, what to do about the situation. But he had a great sense of humor because he talked about being under investigation because of the way he was hiring faculty and paying them under the table and promising them two extra pieces of chalk.
In looking at his presidency as a whole, how would you make an overall assessment?
I thought he was a very good president. I think he had a lot more support when he left than when his early days. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that he could move on to SUNY and the larger challenge suggests that he had the administrative abilities, and he really showed them later when he went to TIAA CREF and really changed that organization a great deal. Mm-hmm. He was viewed as very paternalistic. He made it much more of a user-friendly operation.
In terms of the overall economy during that time, do you remember any specific economic pressures that he had to face or that maybe you faced in Ag Econ Department? I mean, looking at President Hanna's experience was basically one of boom in terms of the building on the university expansion, and then Wharton obviously that either economic boom or the building boom ended and size of students. What did you see any relationship between the Michigan economy and the national economy, and then what in the 70s with what?
Well, as I recall, 72 was sort of a turning point where Michigan support for higher education was no longer growing, but there was more emphasis on consolidation, not adding new buildings or new programs. President Hanna had appointed a committee to look at a potential law school. That report was made in under Adams, and it was left for Wharton to deal with, and it was pretty obvious there was no point in pushing that after 72. Mm-hmm. I think in general, Hanna had a much easier time, although we had under Hanna a year where there was essentially no pay raises. In fact, Hanna had arranged to borrow money to meet the payroll because we were close to the end of the month and did not have money from the state to meet the payroll. Hmm. So it wasn't always the glory days under mm-hmm.
Did that surprise people at the time, the fact that we were, if not broke, if that's something the problem with, or did it just illustrate?
It illustrated what two political parties interested in making points can accomplish. Mm-hmm. There were a group that thought that Williams was running for president, and they were going to torpedo that. Since they controlled the legislature, they eventually gave in, but Hanna had made contingency plans. Now, the real sour economy, of course, came later when, it was under Mackey, who pushed for the semester system. And we went over to the university auditorium for an academic senate meeting, as it was called at that time, all tenured faculty. And that was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. About noon, the governor announced a major pullback of funds from what had been appropriated. And CISA got up and announced that and said, in view of the projected costs of making the conversion to the semester system, I don't see any point in trying to proceed. Mm-hmm. And that's when we got into the 7 and 14% reductions in college budgets and the closing of Justin Morrow College. And
University College at that time, too? Or was that earlier?
That was earlier.
Earlier, okay.
Right. And there were literally buyouts where faculty were offered money to leave, retire early, or retool in another discipline. Mm-hmm.
The President Mackey, the issues that you talked about a little bit about or mentioned, you were on the hiring committee. Do you remember any of the problems associated with the delays? What took so long, or?
The committee was large, but for a large committee it moved, I think, rather expeditiously and recommended a set of candidates to the board. This was, as I recall, in November of an election year.
Mm-hmm. It would have been 78.
And the board, I think, saw the candidates somewhat differently than the committee did. But that was their prerogative. We were not saying you should hire X. We were saying here are X strengths and weaknesses. And on balance, we believe X could be a good president. Mm-hmm. They did some things to ensure they got involvement of any new trustee who would be working with the candidates. They interviewed candidates. Um, there seemed to be a leakage of names. In the end, they went back to the committee, and there were trustees on the committee. They came back to the full committee and said, the board has rejected the full list of recommended candidates, and I ask that you do some further searching. Mm-hmm. And so that was started, and at some point, I've forgotten exactly when, because of the leaks, when a reporter meets outside of the meeting room and says to a person, is this the candidate? Would you introduce me? you know what's going on. So at that point, John Gruff, as chairman of the board, convinced enough other board members that they should put together an ad hoc committee of three faculty and three trustees, three faculty off of the search committee. Mm-hmm. And this ad hoc committee of six should be in charge of the search until they were ready to recommend a candidate to the full committee, at which time the full committee would interview the candidate and make a recommendation, yes or no. The six then started doing airport rendezvous.
Were you on that?
Yes.
Ad hoc, you were on the ad hoc committee.
And I remember leaving one Saturday morning about 7 a.m., getting back between 2 and 3 a.m. Sunday morning from one of those trips. And at the same time, the State Journal was writing editorials about why weren't we moving faster.
Uh-huh. You were, and just moving in the middle of the night.
One of the trustees said, where is the State Journal reporter when I need him? Yeah. In any case, eventually, Cecil was brought in for a full committee interview. The I was designated as the person to call the secretary of the board to post the board meeting. If it looked, calculate the hours. At such and such an hour, we had to give notice. Mm-hmm. If we were going to have a board meeting.
I see.
And so I was the one to call, and after checking with some of the key people on the committee, are we going to say yes or no? Mm-hmm. And so then Cecil was interviewed on one day, and the board voted to appoint him the following day. Mm-hmm. He had been interviewed off campus by the ad hoc group, had visited the campus, had a chance to see it. Mm-hmm. Was escorted around by a committee member on a weekend when very few people were in town. So he knew him, he and Claire knew something about what they were getting into as uh-huh. they decided to
And accept. you knew him through economics groups too? Or
no.
Oh, no, okay.
I first met him in one of these airport meetings.
I see. He was at Texas Tech, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And he was president there.
Correct.
Yeah. What, in going back to some of the candidates or looking at, what did you see that, why he might have been a good candidate at the time?
One of the trustees characterized him as having a iron fist in a velvet glove. In other words, they were looking for somebody who would provide rather strong leadership. And I'm told by a trustee that one candidate was rejected because when they asked a question about how would you react if the board said such and such, he'd say, I'd do what you told me to. And they wanted somebody that would say, that's stupid, let's talk about it. And that's what, so they were looking for somebody that would keep the board from shooting itself in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Another trustee commented that after the first round of candidates had not succeeded, we now understand what the problem is. And the problem is not the committee, the problem is the board. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean all of them, by mm-hmm. any means. It was simply some of the chemistry that existed at the time.
Mm-hmm. And what, did that ratio of 5-3 between Republicans and Democrats, did that continue after Horton? Or I don't know if you remember the...
I don't remember the exact makeup
But the political partisanship was a factor.
Was a factor.
Yeah.
I think it was less so when we got to Cecil, because the board had realized that the partisanship under Wharton had hurt the university, and I think Ed Hardin came down on him pretty hard
mm-hmm.
on some of these issues, and so I think they were ready for some strong leadership and we're willing to pretty much make a commitment. We're going to back you until we really are convinced you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It may be 7-1, it may be 6-2, but it's...
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that he did early on was ask the board why certain things were going to the board for action and why they didn't have a policy handbook of previous actions, and he wanted something he could say, oh, the policy on this was established by the Board of Trustees April 13th, 1969, and mm-hmm. modified on these dates. And
so a standardization of procedure?
Standardization of procedure, and he asked that a number of personnel actions be delegated to the president and through the president to the provost. We had a silly situation where if we had a faculty member overseas and USAID said, we'd like another week of this person's time, we had to send a form through the board to approve a leave without pay.
Huh.
And officially it was not a legal document until the board approved it.
Mm-hmm.
But you aren't going to fly somebody back from overseas
mm-hmm.
and then send them back for a week,
mm-hmm.
a month later.
That's right.
There are other things we argued very strongly with Cecil on, and that was the tenure decision should rest with the board. That makes it clear the board approves tenure and the board can take away tenure, but the president can't dismiss a tenured faculty member mm-hmm. without board review.
And you had some experience on that committee.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And under the previous rules, there was no question it went from the president to the Board of Trustees for final
mm-hmm.
action.
Mm-hmm.
The president could recommend, but the president could not do it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did you have contacts with Dr. Mackey while he was president?
Because I was so involved in governance, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic council during part of his time. Mm-hmm. I was still on the steering committee when he came in. So I was with him at academic council committee meetings. We had an occasional social contact.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one night we walked into what at that time I believe was Cave of the Candles restaurant on the corner of Abbott and Grand River.
Mm-hmm.
It was down the basement, and our eyes were still adjusting from the bright sunlight to the dim
mm-hmm.
place. And I hear this familiar voice saying, "Did they let everybody in here? Don't they have any standards?" Cecil and Clara were celebrating their wedding anniversary. And Dorothy and I were going in to celebrate ours.
That's interesting. Were you surprised when he resigned?
I would say yes, although in retrospect it wasn't as surprising. Mm-hmm. I believe he misread one or two board members and thought that some of their arguments were being made in a way that suggested they would not support him, whereas that isn't what they were saying. They were just demanding a deeper consideration. Mm-hmm. But Cecil had that determination that he was going to do what he thought was right after reflection and mm-hmm. not what somebody else wanted. Mm-hmm. And this was illustrated, I think, with his fights with the Alumni Association. And I remember he made a presentation to Academic Council one day about his view, his side of the story on the Alumni Association.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the controversies in
his major controversy. Mm-hmm. They dissolved the old Alumni Association. And Cecil argued that an alumni association should serve a variety of interests and needs, not be an athletic booster council. Mm-hmm. And that it was appropriate for them to hold study tours and academic type programs as well as athletic events. Mm-hmm. And he had an eloquent, both probably 15-minute presentation to Academic Council on the issue. Mm-hmm. And a State Journal reporter came in right afterwards, and I told the State Journal reporter what had happened so far. And after the meeting, he asked for an interview to discuss it with Cecil. Cecil said, "It's on tape. You can listen to it tomorrow." "I've got another meeting to get to tonight."
That's interesting. How about President DiBiagio? Were you involved in his either selection or anything like that? Or
no, mm-hmm. I was not involved in that selection. And I did not have a lot of interaction with him because I was getting out of the governance mm-hmm. at the university level at that point, going mm-hmm. back to college and departmental activities. Mm-hmm. I spent an evening with him with a group of young agricultural types that were on a special 2-year study program that AgEcon sponsored with outside funding. And they were invited to have dinner with him and an evening of discussion. Handled that very well. It was an excellent representative of the university. Mm-hmm. What he needed was a person on the inside to run it while he went off to have dinner with Broad in California or mm-hmm. various other donors. And I think he went over very well with alumni groups and was able to bring the new Alumni Association along. It was started under Cecil.
Do you think that the position of president at a large university like Michigan State, do you think that demands a scholarly mind? Does it demand a manager, a professor, or or a teacher? What do you think? Or I mean, a administrator.
I used to put more emphasis on the scholarship than I have in more recent years. Mm-hmm. There's a saying that in selecting popes, they alternate between a theologian and a manager mm-hmm. or administrator. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you can get off balance if you always go for a banker, mm-hmm. or if you always go for this for a person who's a great scholar but maybe doesn't know how to control budgets and keep things in line. Mm-hmm. So there's some rare individual, I'm sure, that can do both of those, mm-hmm. but there are only 24 hours in a day, and I think that in McPherson's case and DiBiagio's case, they're wise enough to listen to the deans and the provost and carefully consider what they're saying. I'm sure some of the statements that have come out of the fourth floor of the administration building have been inspired by Peter, mm-hmm. even though Glenna may say it. Mm-hmm. The tuition waiver, which may or may not have been a mistake, certainly got a lot of political payoff. Mm-hmm. His going around to college meetings and suggesting heavier teaching loads did not win a lot of friends.
Not a faculty-driven idea.
Mm-hmm. But he does act more like a political animal uh-huh. than a scholar.
Some of the interesting attacks on tenure, or the attempts on tenure, even though they don't call it directly that. But what's your position on that? How important do you see the tenure as an institution, more or less, in academia?
The reason we have tenure, I've always argued, is academic freedom protection and not job tenure. Mm-hmm. There have been several Ivy economists who have been fired at land-grant schools because they took a stance unpopular with a major farm organization in the state. Mm-hmm. And with tenure, it's more difficult for the university to get rid of mm-hmm. that person. Mm-hmm. When the person then becomes non-performing, then I think we need to have a faculty that will stand up and say, you know, you've got 2 years to retread and start producing, or 3 years, some reasonable time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, we as a faculty will be willing to put you up for dismissal for cause. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important in defending it. I think there are a lot of people who criticize tenure because they think it's job security, and they forget that you don't get tenure at General Motors, but there have been a lot of handshakes, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and there's been a lot of gold exchanged in some of those handshakes.
That's true.
And which is better, the academic freedom is a key. Aware that we've also, as a faculty, had an occasional buyout where somebody was offered 2 years mm-hmm. Pay to stay away from campus.
That has happened. Would you talk a little bit about your longtime experience in the College of Ag and Natural Resources? It seems to me an important theme in the post-Hanna years especially has been the relationship of the College of Ag and Natural Resources, Cooperative Extension. We didn't talk about that yet. Could you talk a little bit about where you see the nature of the College of Ag in relationship to the other colleges within the university? Or maybe is that different from when you first got here to today, or what did you see during your tenure? Did you see any changes?
Well, picking up on Cooperative Extension, I had some role in that as an administrator, but and did a number of extension meetings without being paid by extension. And I think that concept has spread to other parts of the university under the title Outreach.
Outreach.
I think there's more concern about outreach both in the administration building and in the colleges, whether it's music for children or the Wharton activities where they bring school busloads in. The College of Ag and Natural Resources is probably less dominant in the governance system and the thinking of people on the campus now as compared to 1956. I think agriculture and natural resources has shifted within to much more of a natural resource orientation, much more of an environmental orientation. And I think it's continued and perhaps expanded its relationships with some other colleges. We've always had relationships with natural science, always with social science,